Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the rare Saturday edition of the Yard. Today kind of got away from me yesterday, and we had a lot going on. Wanted to watch the men's basketball game. As you guys know, Mississippi State takes care of Tennessee again. Had our guy Nathan Purvis go ahead and push out a state championship graphic. But we're not done by any stretch of the imagination. And I would tell you this. I don't know that Mississippi State sports has had too many days better than we had yesterday. Mississippi State takes down number 5 Tennessee in men's basketball in the SEC tournament. And then the Diamond Dogs, without ace Nate Dome, absolutely destroy LSU. Luke Holman had entered the game, 40 strikeouts against just 4 walks, had not allowed a run in 4 starts. It only allowed 8 hits on the year. And State goes out there and absolutely tattoos him. We're going to break down both games. I'm not going to spend quite as much time on the Tennessee game because of the fact that we're going to have a game against Auburn to break down in the second half of the show. I don't know how long we go today, maybe closer to an hour. But we will be back on schedule next week. Also going to tell you, too, that unfortunately I'm not going to travel to A&M next weekend. I want to really bad. However, we had previously booked a book signing at the Winston County Library on Friday. It's impossible for me to, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So I won't be there. We'll still have coverage, but we won't have the same level of in-depth coverage of Bulldog baseball next weekend. And, of course, Mississippi State will be playing an NCAA tournament next week. So we'll have plenty of things to talk about. Well, again, we'll still have coverage, but we won't have boots on the ground in College Station, Texas. And, yes, that bothers me, because I'm a person that kind of prides myself on our commitment to cover Mississippi State sports. But it is what it is. I committed to the book signing without checking the book schedule several weeks ago. And so I'll be there at the Winston County Library on Wednesday. And so if you're in Louisville, come by, and we'll have some books to sign and sell on site. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger, and you will too. If you don't already, you probably already have a raving love affair with Bulldog Burger Company, because they're simply no better place to go sit and put your feet under their table and get a great restaurant quality hamburger. You can't. I'm saving you the research. Stick with Bulldog Burger Company. 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. It's one of those great things, man. There is consistency in service. There is consistency in food preparation. It is a great dining experience. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you better looking. Get that great restaurant quality hamburger. I've got some favorites, but man, you know, my taste buds kind of change from time to time. Sometimes I'm just craving those Sloppy Joe sliders, which are amazing. It's a great lunch portion too. But sometimes when I go to dinner, I'm going to do a big. I'm going to get the wings, I'm going to get the spring rolls, I'm going to get probably the Bryant or the Mississippi Barbecue Burger, which is absolutely fantastic. Find your own favorites at Bulldog Burger Company. Get dessert to go. I'm an advocate for that. It makes life so much easier, right? I mean, yeah, you can come home and have a little Debbie cake. I mean, you can, but why would you want to? When you're out, think ahead, maybe say, hey, let me get that bread pudding to go because a little bit later tonight I'm going to want a palate cleanser. Or maybe get that chocolate shake to go. I'm kind of preferential, or if I can get it out there, to the Nutella shake. But sometimes they have these special shakes that are only available for a limited time only. And when that happens, I have to partake. It's just who I am, what I'm about. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's start with the Bulldog baseball win over LSU. We'll start there, and we'll preview a little bit today's game. Today's game, 4 p.m. first pitch. Many of you may be listening to this show kind of after the fact. But I was concerned. Of all the games that we have this weekend, this is the one I was most worried about. Because, number one, Luke Holman is a good dude. I mean, he is. We recruited him. The final two were State and LSU. He opted for LSU because he had a friend that transferred there as well. And much like the Paul Skene situation, he simply felt like the chance to win was better at LSU. Well, he takes his first loss in an LSU uniform last night to Mississippi State. Bulldogs scored 10 runs on 16 hits, many of those against Holman himself. And then Gavin Guidry, a guy that closed out the NAFL championship there in Omaha, we got to him too. And there's been so much criticism of the Bulldog offense that has been rich we deserve. There have been some games we haven't shown up. There have been other games we've done pretty well and shown some flashes. Last night's offensive performance was a masterpiece. Jake Gautreaux and the staff were absolutely prepared for Luke Holman. And I don't think Luke Holman was prepared for Mississippi State. Late in his outing, he simply abandoned the fastball. When you cannot effectively throw a fastball for strikes, and I don't mean just throwing it in the strike zone. I had that discussion last night with somebody. And you said, well, he is throwing it for strikes. Isn't there beating him all over the yard, man? It's not that you're just throwing bad practice at that point. You've got to be able to have some sink on that fastball. You've got to be able to elevate it at times. You've got to get swings and misses. And when you do elevate, and they do make contact, you got kind of hope it's a routine fly ball out there. But guys, State jumped on it and absolutely wore him out. Now, you guys know as well as I do, there was not a lot of confidence on the Mississippi State side, at least from the fan base, without Nate Dome on the hill. Evan Sierra goes out and battles for a little while for us, but Nolan Stevens really the hero of this ball game. He and Hunter Hines. So let's go ahead and get going here. Hey, good start for Sierra. He comes out and he gets Bingham to fly out. He gets White to fly out. That's always a big deal there. And we didn't think we could finish him. You get an 0-2 count on him and ultimately work it to 2-2. But you get a fly out to right field. It was a bit of a loud out, but it was still an out. LSU put a few balls on the track against Sierra. Put a couple more over the fence. You get Milam to ground out to second. A guy that's been kind of emerged. He's about 5'6", 5'7", second baseman. Really a quick twitch guy. I really like his game after seeing him play in person last night. This is a kid that's probably going to be around for a while. All right, bottom of the first, it goes right to work. Imani Larry singles right back up the middle, really hard, barreled up line drive. Mershon flies out to left, and then Jordan singles right back up the middle. And so two hits early on. Hines strikes out looking, lengthy at bat there, but that proved to be one of the only unsuccessful at bats that Hunter Hines had on the evening. And then Hizak grounds out the second. But the thing about every bit of this is even though we had the one punch out, you had two hits, the rest of the outs are pretty well hit. Even that ground out the second had some pace to it. So nothing doing there for State in the first. And then in the second, you get Jones to ground out the short. Trevinsky then doubles the center field. And it feels like, okay, well, this is where they're going to get to him. But no, Sierra really stood strong here. He gets Neal to fly out to center. Trevinsky tags and takes third. It proves to be of no consequence. It's Michael Braswell, a guy that many of you wanted, who I do not believe is an SEC player, flies out to left. So through two innings for Sierra, nothing going. Bottom of the second, State opens the scoring here. We get Aaron Downs to single through the left side. That baseball about 106 miles per hour. Kohler strikes out looking. A lengthy at bat there. Not so sure about the call there. I thought Malika had a tough night behind the plate, to be honest with you. And it's when you say that in a win, it doesn't come across as sour grapes. If we had got beat 10-3, complaining about the officiating, it just kind of seems to be on not even-handed. Malika was not good behind the plate last night, and State still won the ballgame 10-4. Now, Long then grounds out, hits a little nubber out there in front of the mound. Downs takes second. It works like a bunt. And then Cup, an infield single there, really nice play there to kind of make some things happen. But, Dylan Cup is a kid that's kind of figuring this thing out now. Imani Larry comes up with two outs. The first of six two-out RBIs from Mississippi State. Larry singles in the left field. Down scores, and the crowd kind of gets a little bit elevated here. We're thinking, because I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of people kind of sitting on their hands just kind of waiting for something to cheer about. And as this game began to progress, the Mississippi State crowd began to really get engaged. We heard some maroon and white chants out there, some people getting excited. And I think it may be safe to assume that Mississippi State actually might be good at baseball. All right, Mershon strikes out looking. Kind of a tough night to play for David. He was the only starter to not have a hit last night. Think about that for a second. Eight of nine starters had a hit. Seven of those eight had multiple hits against an LSU pitching staff that many people believe is among the best in college baseball. I'm not ready to make that declaration. But 1-0, and then LSU strikes back here in the third. Sierra began to elevate a little bit, and some of those balls are warning track shots. The first time through the order began to lead the ballpark. Kling flies out the center, and then Pearson, who gets ahead in the count 3-1, kind of got into predictable count there, and Sierra elevates a fastball. Just not enough, and Pearson hits a home run to right center. Binghamton singles through the left side, and then Tommy White with an absolute shot to right field to make it 3-1. It just kind of felt like, hey, you know, things are not really going, you know, how we want them to go. Milam flies out to right center, almost the same spot. Jones doubles to right center, and Stravinsky strikes out swinging. So 3-1 LSU, and right here, a lot of people thought, okay, well, here we go. It's been a fight for a while, but here we go. They're going to get to us. State comes back and answers here in the bottom of third. DJ with a single through the right side. It was so interesting, too, like watching these guys up here. They had the shift on and basically had three infielders on the left-hand side of the infield. And I even turned to Mike Nemeth and I said, what has he done in the last week on the spray chart that would suggest that that dramatic shift is a good thing to do? What does he do? He singles through the right side there. I mean, it wasn't a hammered ball, but basically it's a hard-charging bouncer that gets in the right field for a single. Then Hines lines out to right field 116 miles per hour off the bat, if I remember correctly. It was an absolute torch job. He just hit it right at the right fielder, who nearly bailed out on it. Hizak then reaches on the fielder's choice. They force Jordan at second. And then Downs, again, singles to right field. And Aaron Downs certainly making the case to be your everyday left fielder. Kohler walks, and then Long grounds, and they force the runner there at third. Tommy White grabs it and steps on the bag. And he's a guy that's dropped a little bit of weight and improved himself as a defender. He's still not a plus defender by any stretch. And I think he's a guy, if you make him defend his position, it could prove to be a liability for LSU. But it's now a 3-2 ball game. All right, top of four, we come out, and Sierra has kind of lost the release point here. We walk Neal on four pitches, then walk Braswell on four pitches. And that's kind of the problem there. These are guys in the lower half of the order. You can't be giving these guys an opportunity to get on base in front of the run producers. Kling faces Nolan Stevens. And had we known then what Nolan Stevens was going to do, we're probably pretty excited. Guys, he didn't give up a hit until the ninth inning. He gets Kling to fly out to center. Pearson, it's a fielder's choice. We can't turn two there. And then we get Bingham to strike out swinging. So the threat is neutralized there. State holds the game right there. Stevens comes in again with two men on and nobody out and gives up nothing. All right, State goes 1-2-3 in the bottom of four. And then LSU, 1-2-3 in the bottom of five. You get a hard grounder out to Dylan Kopp. He makes a play. And then back-to-back punch-outs of Milam and Jones. All right, bottom of five, this is when State began to exert itself. And, of course, the Mississippi State crowd really kind of became the 10th player. Jordan grounds out the second, and then Hines hits the solo home run to right field. And from this point forward, there was electricity in the air at Duty Noble Field. Hunter, absolutely tank job here to tie the game. And that comes off Luke Holman. Hizak follows with a single through the left side. We've talked about how Dakota Jordan has been hot. Hunter Hizak, while he hadn't had the home runs to show, Connor Hizak, he's been really hot as well. Downs and reaches on the fielder's choice. And then Kohler singles through the left side. Really, really rake that ball, too. It's one of those things, too. We've been kind of waiting for Logan Kohler to get going. And that's been one of the detriments in the lineup. As Kohler has been quiet, Hines has been quiet. That's two of your left-hand bats in the middle of that order. You're expecting to do some big things. It's good to see them both have some success last night against Luke Holman, again, who is a very good pitcher. But the Bulldogs just simply prepared. That proves to be the end for Luke Holman. And he leaves down 4-3. They bring in Gavin Guidry, and Johnny Long immediately comes through with a big base hit here. And Long kind of quietly becoming one of the alpha dogs on this team. And we had a little situation we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. But Long singles up the middle, run scores. And that's the thing you'd think about. You know, hey, winning teams find a way to get that guy in, and we do. Now it's a 5-3 ball game. Kupp is then hit by the pitch. A lot of people concerned about him. He's fine. He was later removed from the game as a precaution, but he is expected to be just fine. And Larry strikes out swinging, one of the only non-productive bats for Imani Larry. All right, so Stevens back out for the sixth. We get Stravinsky to strike out looking. Neal grounds out the first. Nice play by Hunter Hines there. And then Braswell reaches on a throwing error. Dylan Kopp has had a difficult week at times. This is, you know, he's going to be fine. You know, but at some point, all freshmen kind of have some challenges playing as much baseball as they do. Dylan is going to be just fine. Then Braswell takes third on a wild pitch. And rather than panic and rather than let them back in it, Stevens gets the K swinging here of Kling, who's hitting about 200. Bottom of six, State adds to the lead. And that's what good teams do. When you get somebody on the ropes, you just simply keep pounding. Mershon opens up with a walk here and promptly takes second base. And then Jordan grounds out to third. They decide to bring in Lower in place of Guidry. And Mershon then takes third. I asked Chris Simonis in postgame about Mershon, and he is an elite base runner, right? As, you know, he put so much stress, and as I'm trying to finish the statement, he put so much stress on the defense, Simonis interrupts me and says, yeah, on me. He said, I'm yelling at Cheese, the lead's too big, and there's all this. But Mershon is a guy that is just such an irritant on the base pass, and it's good to see that kind of really translate to the field in the SEC play. Hines strikes out swinging, and again, a lengthy at bat here. And then Hizak singles to left field. Again, another two-out RBI here. Not just a two-out hit, but a two-out RBI. And that's the measure of between good and great teams. You got to take advantage of all three outs. And then Downs flies out to right field. And that ends the inning. State's up 6-3 now after six. And the Bulldog crowd is really starting to feel it. There is a pop-up now. LSU opens up the seventh here. Pearson pops up to third. Logan Kohler, a veteran play here. He goes over and finds the net, grabs the net, and then catches the foul ball. Now, LSU challenged this. I thought it was a wasted challenge. It was pretty obvious that, especially on the replay, and from LSU's vantage point, that the ball didn't hit the screen. They challenge it, which proves to be a wasted challenge, in my estimation. That's an out. And then Bingham strikes out swinging, and then White strikes out looking. It's a big deal to get Tommy White struck. That guy's it's an electric player. But now 6-3, headed to bottom of seven. State gets a little challenge here, too. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And another kind of silly play here where we had this whole deal with Johnny Long here. Okay, let me back up a second here. So Kohler strikes out swinging. They have to throw him out. And then Johnny Long gets a bunt down. He beats it. It's really not even close, even in live action. They show the replay, and it looks even worse. And the fact, like, they give the umpire some credit here. He's all over this, okay? They challenge, waste their second challenge. And at this point, it's still a close ball game. It's still 6-3. The challenge may help you later. And I understand every play is important. But where we were in the order, I thought it was kind of a silly challenge. But all that said, they confirmed the call, and he stays. And then we promptly get picked off first base. That was terrible, absolutely terrible. Well, then as he's going back, somebody from the LSU dugout says something. And then Johnny, in return, says something. And then Johnny Long, as he's crossing the plate, him and the LSU catcher have words. And then Jay Johnson comes out, and it all gets crazy. Everybody's benches get worn. And let me tell you why I'm happy about this. How many times last year did we allow another team to come to Duty Noble Field and disrespect us? How many times? You can count them over and over and over again. People come in here, stomp on our plate, talk a bunch of trash, you know, walk out of the dugout, you know, and then Johnny Long makes a mistake and gets picked off, and then they want to make him hear about it, and then what do you know, he has some words for them. I'm glad to see it. You know, just like, and I saw some people on Facebook, you know, some of this poor old Mississippi State mentality. I'm sick of that stuff. Everybody goes, well, I hope it doesn't hurt us like it did against South Alabama. Let me tell you what happened against South Alabama if we hadn't talked about this already. Dakota Jordan hits a home run, and he's coming around the bases, and the third baseman from South Alabama is basically barking at him, telling him to get around the bases and drop some profanity. The only thing Dakota Jordan said was what? And all of a sudden, our fans, those that love Mississippi State, want to blame Dakota Jordan. What is he supposed to do in that situation? The guy starts barking at him using profanity, and he says, what? And all of a sudden, you know, like, well, Steve, you just keep running the bases. Nah, you can't let people disrespect you. I'm not saying you got to go have a fist fight. That's kind of what happened last night. Both sides are wrong. Both sides are at fault, right? But I'm glad that Johnny Long, a first-year player at Mississippi State, has enough pride in himself in this program to say, you know what? You're not going to come in here and punk us. You're not going to come in here and talk trash to us. So, yes, I'm happy it happened because it tells me this team has an edge. This team has some pride. They're not going to let anybody come in here and punk them. Somebody may beat us, but you're not going to come in here and disrespect us. Cupton flies out to right field. That ends the seventh. All right, top of eight, and again, Stevens just cruising here. And we open up with a leadoff walk, but then we get a strikeout swinging, and then at this point, when Stevens turned this double play here, you realize, okay, this is our night. Travinsky chops it back to the mound, and this call is from the catcher, right? I mean, this is Johnny Long. Immediately, because of the fact Stevens is on it, 2-2-2. He gets to Mershon. We turn the double play there. The inning's over. At least for LSU it is. Great call by Johnny. Great execution by Nolan Stevens. And then a great turn at second by Dave Mershon, who has a big-time arm. That play at first really wasn't close. And let's not forget, we got a catcher coming down the line there. Travinsky's also a catcher and a designated hitter. All right, bottom of eight. State puts it away here. Larry lines out to center. Mershon strikes out swinging. However, it was a wild pitch, and he runs down to first base and immediately takes second. Then they walk DJ, and Mershon takes third. And then Hunter Hines hits a majestic blast into the Starkville night to make it 9-3. At this point, there was no longer any anxiety in Starkville, Mississippi, at least for anybody wearing maroon and white. Hizak then singles through the left side. Again, just stay hot, kid. And I don't think it's a coincidence with Hizak hitting fifth that Hines didn't get any better pitches to hit. Well, you've got somebody back there to protect him. I mean, how many times have we seen it? People have been walking DJ to get to Hunter, and he hadn't come through. Now he's starting to come through. It's not just Hunter Hines. It's the fact, too, that the fact that Hunter Hizak has gotten hot. And so it's like, hey, I got to go attack Hunter Hines here, which seems like an incredible strategy. But, yeah, he struggled a little bit. But yeah, at least last night, he was in a really good spot. Again, Hizak singles, and then Downs flies out to center. Hi, Zach. Actually, tags and takes second. Kohler singles to right to drive in Hizek. It's a small thing, and it's a lopsided game. But think about this for a second. You know, Downs hits this thing a ton, right? And LSU is a little lazy getting it back in. And so Hizek tags and takes second. And then the very next thing you know, it's a base hit into right, and he scores. You take the extra base when they're willing to give it to you. Not everybody has the speed to tag and take second. We've done it a few times this year, and that ultimately leads to a run here. Good base running, and then timely hitting. And again, it's another two-out RBI for Mississippi State, the sixth of the evening. Longden stings one out to center field, and that's the end of the Bulldog offensive night. All right, so we make some changes here. You know, we slide Marshawn over to short and bring in Nate Chester at second in place of Cup. And again, Cup's going to be fine. Neil grounds out to Chester. Broswell then doubles to left center. That's the only hit LSU managed off Nolan Stevens. And that's just really the ball found in the bat when, you know, he's beginning to get a little bit fatigued. And then Kling walks, and you think we're going to take him out here. Okay, this is it. You think, oh, well, this is it, right? We're done. Pearson grounds out to second, and you know, the run scores there. And then we bring in Cam Schulke, and they decide to pinch hit. And this is one of those things that kind of irritates me. LSU's waving the white flag here. It's a 10-4 ball game. There is two outs in the inning. The track man says it was a strike, but Malika does not. It's so stupid. It's so incredibly stupid. Because Jay Johnson, no matter what you think about the guy's a winning coach. But Jay's here like, hey, let me get a young guy in at bat, and let's get on back to the hotel and regroup and come back tomorrow. Guys, he's waving the white flag here, just trying to end the game. And it's a 1-2 count. And we throw strike three, and he doesn't give it to us. Malika doesn't give it to us. It's ridiculous. I mean, Jay Johnson's basically telling him, hey, Derek, let's get out of here. Let me send this kid up here and just let him get in at bat. Let's just go home. But no, we have to extend the game. Stupid. Even a borderline pitch should be called a strike. I mean, it's just disrespectful to a game of baseball. It really is. And then Tommy White comes up and lines out the right field. That's a ball game. That kind of stuff just irritates me. Welcome to the umpire show. I mean, give me a break, man. It is a 10-4 ball game with two outs and nobody on. I mean, come on. Come on. I guess there was one guy on, but you understand my point. It's so incredibly stupid. But State wins the ball game. Let's look through the numbers here. Again, great offensive performance and great pitching performance. Probably the most complete game that Mississippi State has played all year. And obviously that's a big one, being the SEC opener there. Pretty impressive performance by your Diamond Dogs. But look at the box score here. It's incredible. It really is. Imani Larry, 2-for-5. Dave Marchand, again, the long Bulldog that didn't get a hit. He did get a walk and then reached on a drop third strike. So he was on base twice. So every starter reached base. Dakota Jordan, 2-for-4, also had a walk. Hunter Hines, 2-for-5 with 4 RBIs. A couple tanks there. You like those? Connor Hizek, 3-for-5. How about that? Aaron Downs, 2-for-5. Logan Kohler, 2-for-4. Johnny Long, 2-for-5. Dylan Cup, 1-for-3. So every Bulldog player reaches base, 8 of 9 with a base hit, 7 of those 8 with multiple base hits. The LSU lads are not nearly as good. They had 6 hits in the ballgame, and 5 of those come prior to the ninth inning. And we've talked about this, you know, after the South Alabama game. When you score a few runs in one inning and you don't score in 8, you lose. LSU pushed across a run there in the ninth of a runner of no consequence. But you have that big third inning and then don't score again until the ninth inning. The prospects of winning are not good. Not good. Luke Holman goes 4 2/3 of an inning, allows 10 hits. Of course, as I've mentioned, prior to this, his 4 previous starts, he allowed 8 hits combined. State more than doubles that hit total in one ball game. 5 runs, 2 of them were earned. A walk, 3 strikeouts. And we just won 88 pitches, but he just simply didn't have it. State had him on the ropes. Gavin Guidry goes 2/3 of an inning, allows a hit and a run. Probably see him again at some point this weekend. And I think what happened was State began to get some separation here. They went out there and told Justin Lower, hey, this is your game. We've got to save our arms. You got to manage a whole weekend. You can't throw the weekend away chasing one ball game. Evan Sierra goes 3 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. Couple walks there, 1 strikeout. Of course, he gave up those two home runs, but Nolan Stevens really the story here today. Now 2-0 on the season, 5 2/3 of an inning, one hit, one run. It was earned. Two walks, eight strikeouts, one wild pitch. That's the one that sent Braswell to second. Cam Schulke comes in and goes a third of an inning. Also had a walk. We'll see him again later in the weekend. But big win for Mississippi State. No question about it. Big win for State. And we kind of get ready to go today. And, we got Cal Stephen on the mound for us. And so, of course, on Monday, we'll come back and recap the weekend that was. But all very exciting type stuff, for sure. All right, we're not going to do a top 10 list today, but I want to go ahead and get Blair's read in because we have to do that, right? Not only is it the right thing to do, you guys need to know this. Blair Chandler is a mortgage professional. Blair is a guy that's been around 23 years in the mortgage industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Coffee's for closers. Yeah, that's why Blair is always so properly caffeinated. He gets plenty of coffee. So be sure and give him a call at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Visit the website, closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. .com. Whether you're looking for a game day condo, maybe your first home, maybe you're having to relocate, maybe you're moving to the area. You're like, I don't even know who to call. Well, I'm telling you right now, Blair Chandler, we've had several Barnyard listeners close loans with Blair, and you can do that same thing too. 23 years of experience, back-to-back the years, in top 1% close ratio in the country, now part of the Priority One Mortgage family. That's our friend, your friend, Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. All right, let's look around some college baseball scores from around the league. First night of play in the SEC for everybody was in action. Texas A&M, previously undefeated Texas A&M, a team that I think is really a good team, but a tad overrated because of the lack of competition in their non-conference schedule. But that said, they won those games, right? I mean, so the ranking I think is justified. I don't think they're quite as good as people think. Florida, who has had six non-conference losses, takes the game 8-6. Very interesting game here. Florida jumps out early, and then A&M responds with five in the second. Florida pitching has been a real challenge this year. But the Aggies take a 5-2 lead into the third. In the bottom half of the third, Florida scores four to make it a 6-5 ball game. Each team tack on a few more runs, but it's Florida putting the game away late. Of course, the game was tied after four. And then Florida with a run in the sixth or run in the seventh. Win the game 8-6. The Gators pound out 12 hits. A&M held to just seven. I think offensively, they're not exactly what people expect them to be. We'll see how things go. We'll see how things go. But Florida gets the job done. Pretty nice win for Florida. We'll see both of these teams in the next 2 weeks, as you guys know. All right, Georgia and Kentucky turned into a Church League softball game. And again, Georgia's a team, too, I think is propped up by a pretty weak non-conference schedule. Georgia now 17-2. And Kentucky, a team last year that had a lot of veteran guys and advanced to a Super Regional. And Nick Mangione gets the big contract extension. Kentucky, not what they were last year, but a big win for them to open up SEC play. Georgia jumps out to a 4-0 lead. Kentucky with a run there in the bottom of second to make it a 4-1 ball game. And then they explode for five in the fourth and really just kind of manage the lead the rest of the ball game. Once Georgia scored, they tend to have the ability to answer. Georgia with a run in the fifth and two in the sixth, but Kentucky five more in the sixth and then five more in the seventh to kind of put this thing away. Georgia gets one in the eighth, two in the ninth, and Kentucky wins 16-10. Kentucky hitters pounded out 14 hits against Georgia's Friday night offerings. So congratulations to Nick Mangione and the Wildcats with their first win of the SEC schedule. Auburn and Vanderbilt. Auburn's another team that's kind of precariously positioned in the rankings. I don't think this Auburn team is nearly as good as people expect it to be. We get them here. I think that's a series that we should get. This is a team here that, again, they've got some interesting pieces offensively. Ike Irish being one of them. Really like his game a lot. Very mature hitter. Got some Jake Mangum-ish type qualities to him. He's a guy that will hit it where you're not. But Auburn gets out to a 1-0 lead and then does not score the rest of the ball game. Right? When you play nine, and they didn't, they played eight because they got 10-run ruled in Nashville. You don't score again, it's tough. It is. Carter Holton with the win for Vanderbilt. The Commodores went 11-1 in eight innings. They pound out 13 hits, Auburn with just five. And that's not characteristic of what we expect from Auburn. Vanderbilt pitching, you know, is always going to be really good. Corbin and his guys do a really good job using need-based aid to ensure they have the pitchers required to compete in this league. But that's a pretty loud win for Vanderbilt. But again, I think Auburn is a good, not a great team. I think there's a lot of parity in the league this year. Tennessee against another team that I think is kind of fool's gold, Alabama. They got rich and fat off of a non-conference schedule that was decent. It's not as bad as A&M's, but it's decent. So Alabama, again, jumps out early in this ballgame, 2-1, and then Tennessee gets rolling. 2 in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th, 3 in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, and really put the game away. Alabama with a run of no consequence in the 9th as Tennessee wins 11-3, 12 hits. Blake Burke, a big ball game for Tennessee. Former Ole Miss outfielder T.J. McCants, now at Alabama, had a run in the ballgame. We've already broken down the LSU-Mississippi State game for sure. And it's interesting, too, Dave Mershon's highlighted as a leader in this game and didn't have a hit, but he did score a pair of runs. All right, Missouri and Arkansas. People talk about, oh, man, Arkansas dominated Missouri. What'd you expect? Missouri's 9-9 overall, now 0-1 in the conference. And listen, Coach Jackson will get it going at Missouri a little bit. They just don't have the resources to really compete. They don't have a great recruiting footprint up there. Arkansas, Hagan Smith, outstanding, as you'd expect. Arkansas with 2 in the 2nd, 3 in the 3rd, 2 in the 4th, and then tack on 1 in the 8th to win 8-0. Missouri held at just 4 hits in the ballgame. Arkansas very efficient in their offensive output, 8 runs on 7 hits. Kendall Diggs, who's a guy, he's a dude, had a pair of those runs. Missouri also with a couple big errors in that ballgame to kind of open up some scoring. And then Ole Miss with a big win last night. South Carolina, another team. And they're ranked 20th, and a lot of people were talking about them. Guys, Carolina doesn't have great pitching, and that's to be understood. They really, 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 really worked hard. Monty and those guys, you know, to try to go find some guys. They got some guys from Clemson to transfer over. It's not a great pitching staff. They're going to have to win offensively, and that was really the case last night. Ole Miss just more offensive production. But it was certainly a game for a while. Carolina put up 2 in the 2nd. Ole Miss answers with 1 in the bottom half. And it's just kind of a ticky-tack game for a while. And you get to the 6th with Carolina up 3-2. Ole Miss takes the lead with 2 in the bottom of 6 and then tack on 1 in the 7th. Carolina made it an interesting ball game in the 8th with 1, but Ole Miss wins the game 5-4. 9 hits for the Rebels, 6 hits for Carolina there. And so, you know, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. But, you know, it's going to be a very interesting opening weekend, because again, we've said it countless times, you just don't know what you have until you get into SEC play. And I think there is a tremendous amount of parity in the league this year. I think Tennessee is really good. You expect that. They play a lot of ball games in that ballpark. They've changed kind of how the park plays, you know, with the renovation. They had some, all those trees out in left. They still have some of them, obviously, but they've kind of changed the wind patterns a little bit. Vanderbilt, of course, we'll have good pitching, but I think it's really anybody's run for second. I still like this Arkansas team an awful lot. They're 13-1 at home, 2-1 on neutral diamonds, but 15-2 overall. Your Bulldogs right there at 14-5, right there. And again, we've dropped some games we shouldn't. I think we all kind of see it for what it is. But the reality of it is that we're going to find out more of what we've got here over the next month. And, you know, State, a very challenging SEC schedule, at least on paper. And because of the fact 2 of the first 3 road series are on the road, that, you know, that doesn't speak well for winning a lot of times. And then your first home series is against the defending national champion. So we have a bear of an SEC schedule opening up. And then things, again, kind of even up a little bit. But I like where we're positioned right now. We need to win at least one of these next 2. We can find a way to split, win this opening series against LSU. That's huge. I'm not going to sit here and call for a split or call for a sweep. If you get that, then Katie barred the door. And to be honest with you, as I said, you know, Not having Nate was the game I was worried about. And then we ultimately find a way to win that game. That's an important aspect of things. So that's where we are and what we're looking at. And again, this SEC scoreboard update brought to you by closewithblair.com. We'll resume our top 10 list on Monday. But I can't let the day get away from us today and not have a full show, minus a couple of of our normal segments. But that's kind of where things stand. And again, interesting weekend around the league. And you just kind of start getting a sense of kind of who everybody is. But one weekend is not a season going to make, right? There has to be a level of consistency. And we've talked extensively on this show. We got to get to 14 SEC wins. And a lot of people were hoping we could just get one this weekend. Well, now we've got one. So now you start just kind of chipping away here, start thinking, okay, hey, maybe we can get to 14, 15 and not have all the the drama and the issues that go along with fighting to get to Hoover. And I still think if State can put a winning record together in SEC play, you got a really good chance to host. I really do. I just don't know if I'm ready to claim that yet. I may feel differently on Monday. You win this series and then you get one of the next two, and you avoid getting swept, you've really positioned yourself really well. A lot of people, including myself, feel like, hey, if we could be even 3-6 after the first three weekends, we're probably okay. Well, that's not advantageous, but we just can ill afford to get swept in these first three series. Got to find a way to win some ball games. And I thought our energy last night was really good. Even in the pregame huddle when guys came running out of there, I felt like OSU was in for a fight. I don't think they fully appreciated that, but you got to think about what a win last night does for the psyche of both teams. Now, LSU will come out both barrels blazing today because that's who they are. I mean, there's a lot of pride in that uniform. And this is a team that won an AFL championship last year. And, of course, you don't have Paul Skeens. I said last year, without Skeens, they're a very average team. But they had Skeens, and they ultimately proved to be the best team when it's all said and done. But what does it do for you when you see your best guy, who has dominated all year, get absolutely rocked last night? What does that mean? Well, all of a sudden, Mississippi State can come out and play a little bit relaxed as you got Cal Stephen going today, who has been excellent in three or four starts. Against their guy, it's going to feel a lot more pressure. It's like, hey, I've got to find a way to get a win. We can't afford to lose this series today. So all the pressure today is on LSU. And I look forward to a good day out at the ballpark, and I hope that you guys can come out and be able to join us. And a lot of people are tuned into basketball, so it's tough to make that trip. But, we need to make sure – we're packing out to do. Of course, the next home series comes in 3 weeks, and a good chance that the Bulldogs will be done playing basketball by then, so all the focus will be on spring football and baseball. So come out and be a part of that whenever you can. Our next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Stark Villigan institution. Campus Bookmart, been doing this a long time, guys. They are a place that can take care of you. A lot of people make the claims they have the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise. They are pretenders to the throne. Campus Bookmart has it. Go by and check them out next time you're in town. Neatly positioned on the backside of campus. You take 182 and you get off at the trooper station. We ask you not speed. You follow it on around like going to campus, and right there on the left-hand side, just before you turn on the campus, there's Campus Bookmart. Stop in there and pick up some new Mississippi State threads today. Wear them to a game. And if you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. And that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's get caught up with the SEC tournament bracket, of course. And then we'll break down the game against Auburn today. And no matter what happens the rest of this weekend, Mississippi State has acquitted itself really, really well. As you know, remember in the first round, they opened up Arkansas, beat Vanderbilt, and then Jerry Stackhouse got fired. No surprise there. Georgia then beat Missouri. No surprise there. And then Mississippi State took on LSU, and it was a tussle for a while. It really was. And then Josh Hubbard got loose late in that ball game, became a facilitator, led Mississippi State to a 70-60 victory. South Carolina steamrolls over Arkansas 80-66, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do at Arkansas. Probably do some work on that roster. Expect them to be buyers in the portal for sure. A&M takes care of Ole Miss. It's interesting to see kind of the Ole Miss story, really. We talk about non-conference. We talk about so many other things. This Ole Miss team, their fan base does it to themselves. you know, we don't have to do a whole lot. They kind of do it to themselves. And I've seen some of these old tweets kind of making the rounds. But, you know, the season is over for Ole Miss. They announced that they will not take part in the NIT. And when you consider, you know, how this thing holds, this thing started, it kind of blows your mind a little bit, right? I think we all see it for the same thing. You know, it's like they get all hyped up, beating a bunch of nobodies, and they're like, hey, look at us. Look at how great we are, you know. And that's just not the case. SEC play was not good. This Ole Miss team, just, you know, pretty average. Let's just kind of call it for what it is. A very, very average team. And now the season's over. And so I remember everybody's like, oh, look how phenomenal LSU is. We can't afford them to be good in basketball. They finished the year 20-12, 7-11 in the conference on a three-game losing streak. They were a great team at home, a game that we still should have won. But, you know, you look up, man, you know, everybody was so geeked and hyped up. And listen, I get it when your team is winning, but there was clearly some fatal flaws with this team. You know, they end up, they close out the non-conference schedule at 13-0. And they're like, oh, well, here we go. You know, what are we going to do? And then they get into SEC play, and things just do not go well for them at all. And they were absolutely terrible on the road. They had a big win at A&M. And A&M comes back and gets them late and just destroyed Ole Miss. But they end the regular season with a loss at Georgia, a very competitive game. And then they lose terribly at home on senior day to A&M by 26. But you start looking back here at the numbers, man, like the final six games, they lose 5 of 6 and then lose to A&M in a tournament. So they lose 6 of 7. Again, I say that, you know, the value of scheduling a bunch of non-conference games against a bunch of you know, parochial schools is not helpful. Not helpful at all. And so that's the end of it for Ole Miss. The Chris Beard first year is now officially in the books, as they will not play in the NIT even if selected. They have notified officials of that. Florida, 85-80 winners over Georgia, kind of the revenge of Florida over Mike White there. And then State takes down Tennessee. And I did not expect to win the game. I didn't expect to win the regular season matchup. I didn't expect to win yesterday. But State dominated Tennessee from start to finish yesterday. And outside of a few shaky calls at the opening of that second half, State would have absolutely done Tennessee in worse. And it cost Tennessee a shot at a number one seed. Now everybody out there saying, hey, they're going to be a number two, maybe the top number two. But it appears that North Carolina will be a one seed. And so Tennessee had something to play for. Of course, the enemies of Mississippi State, the haters of Mississippi State, so, well, Tennessee's work was already done. No, it was not. They were playing for seeding and got absolutely shelled. And you could watch those young men play yesterday, especially Dalton Connect, and see, even though he had a tough day, they really came out and competed hard. So State wins and earns a berth in the semifinals. Auburn, I was hoping to get South Carolina again. But for some reason, this matchup between Auburn and South Carolina just absolutely favors Auburn. I think a lot of it's just linked on the wings out there. They give South Carolina all kinds of trouble, beat them by 31 points. It was not pretty. And then big upsets last night. Great, great results for Mississippi State if we can advance today. Texas A&M takes down Kentucky 97-87. A&M clearly now in the tournament. That team's got a lot of talent. They were picked by some people to be second in the Southeastern Conference and just absolutely just couldn't get it together. They have found it late and are playing exceptionally well and will probably be a very difficult out for somebody in the tournament. So they're in the semifinals, and who do they play? They play Florida, who drilled Alabama 102-88. That Alabama defense has been a little bit sketchy all year. They're a team that, you know, they got to go out there and hit shots in the perimeter. That's just kind of who Nate Oates is. We're going to go out there and take the three-point basket because it counts for more points, and we're going to do better than you do. And when they're not hitting it, they get beat. So Florida wins that game. So the semifinal matchups are Mississippi State versus Auburn and the Texas A&M versus Florida. And, of course, the winners advance to tomorrow's championship game. They're in Nashville. But that's where things sit right now. All right, final segment of the show. brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're coming to Starkville, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. There's no better place to stay for a large group. You bring a large group to town, and chances are you'd love to. Maybe you just don't have the accommodations. You're like, Steve, it's so expensive to get five hotel rooms. Well, how about just get a house? How about get the Stark Vegas Clubhouse? How about that? Well, how would that be, right? So be sure and Google that, and you can see their Facebook page and see all the amenities that are available to you if you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. What are you bringing a work group to town during the week? And it just makes sense for everybody to be under one roof, right? So you can have the opportunity to kind of have some communal areas, but then also retreat to your accommodations at night. You can do that. Full service kitchen, got the wet bar in there. And maybe it's a weekend event for you. And it's like, hey, well, you know, Julie's getting married in 6 months. Let's all take a girls trip to Starkville and kind of relive our college days, let our hair down a little bit. It's a great place to stay. And the flip side of it is too, hey, maybe it's a guy's trip. Maybe everybody's getting a little bit older. And say, hey, you know, maybe we just want to go to a ball game and sit around, have some cold beers, and reminisce about the good old days. What better place to do it than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, where everybody can be together under one roof? And now, listen, we can save you a little money. You have options to book. You can book through VRBO. You can book through Airbnb. But if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you 10%. Happy to do that for you because I love you. Yeah, promo code BSR10. BSR10. Book the Stark Vegas Clubhouse for your next big trip to Starkville. And save 10% just because you listen to this show. Again, book through the Evolve website, promo code BSR10. All right, the ball game is over, and it did not go the way we had hoped. But, man, I am so incredibly proud of this team. The Mississippi State men's basketball team falls in Nashville in the SEC tournament, 73-66. And, man, what a rock fight it was, as Chris Jans likes to say. At halftime, it was 31-all, and that was without a lot of offensive contributions from Josh Hubbard. Give the Auburn defense a lot of credit for really kind of balling him up for most of the game. But in the second half, I mean, it's just kind of like an old bad yard dog, right? You can try to keep them on the chain, but eventually they find their way to get off and run loose. But Hub with 20 points in the ballgame, 6 of 17. And I would say that every one of those shots was contested with rare exception. He's 7 of 8 from the free throw line. But in the end, you know, State just simply couldn't get over the hump. It's like every time that we would cut it down, like Auburn would go up 7, we'd come back and cut it down at 3, sometimes 4. We just could never seem to get stops. There were a couple of big defensive lapses late in the ball game that gave way to easy baskets for Auburn. A couple of plays were just dunks, and there was one where Hub gets caught up with a power forward on a switch. He gets a block and then gets the run out and ultimately heaves at the other end. That was that play that really, when State was beginning to kind of take some momentum away from Auburn, if that shot goes down for State, it's probably a different conversation. And very critical mistake late in the game to DJ Jeffries, and you hate to say it boiled down to this, but it really didn't. But that proved to be kind of the final straw as State gets a nice defensive rebound, and Jeffries takes it down and goes to pass out there on the wing. Shaquille Morris tucked a little bit closer down to the baseline, and it's like maybe Jeffries saw the official with the black pants on kind of flash into his peripheral vision and kind of threw it in that direction. Of course, there was nobody there. That ultimately proved to be the turnover that really turned the tide late. And State forced a foul there, and Auburn, so good at the line, makes their free throws. And so, again, Mississippi State is in the NCAA tournament. We have done a great job down the stretch here. We have won a couple of games in the SEC tournament and appear to be playing some of our better basketball of the season. And Auburn was a team that many people expected to win the SEC championship. It was them or Tennessee. Well, Tennessee wins the regular season championship. Now Auburn now advances to the SEC tournament final. Well, they'll take on either Florida or Texas A&M. It's of no consequence to us at this point. We're getting ready for Selection Sunday. But let's take a quick look back at the box score for everybody that maybe didn't get a chance to see the game. Cam Matthews, kind of the hero in yesterday's win against Tennessee, just goes 1 for 7, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, pulled down 5 rebounds in the ballgame. And State was very, very good on the offensive glass early in this ballgame. Second half, not so much. Auburn obviously did a really good job you know, kind of getting up there and fighting on the glass. But just 3 points for Cam. DJ Jeffries, who I thought had some really big moments today, 5 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 2. And the one that he missed, man, that was just a hustle play there. And if that thing goes down, the roof probably comes off Bridgestone Arena there. Would love to have seen that thing go down. Man, it was nuts. But 1 of 3 from the line. Pulled down 6 rebounds, had 12 points. Tolu Smith, really kind of a non-factor and really had trouble finishing at the rim, especially early in this ball game. It's one of the things about Tolu that's kind of frustrated me. And listen, he's had a great career here at Mississippi State. But sometimes you got to go up with power, not try to anticipate contact and play finesse around the rim. You got to go up with force. And that was an issue early on. But Tolu with 10 rebounds in the game and 10 points, so double-double for him in the loss. Deshaun Davis, who has been kind of a glue guy for us, he had a kind of a silly foul on a three-point basket late that allowed Auburn to get a little separation there. Deshaun, 1 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 3 from the line, pulled down a couple rebounds and had 4 points. Josh Hubbard, if we mentioned, 6 of 17, 1 of 8 from three-point land. And that's kind of the game, right? When he can't extend the defense and he can't make those shots, and give Auburn's length a lot of credit for that, they were able to get out and kind of force him to shoot over some longer defenders. Still pulls down 20 points, found some success on some dribble drive stuff, and you know, some fadeaway jumpers from the mid-range there. Keyshawn Murphy comes off the bench, does not score. Jimmy Bell comes in, 1 of 2 from the floor, makes 1 free throw and 3 points. Sean Jones got a little bit injured late with a turned ankle. I thought he was really good defensively at times. 3 of 3 and always seems to be around the basketball on both ends. 1 of 2 from the line. Pulled down a couple rebounds, scored 7 points, also had a couple of steals. State not extremely maybe defensive the way we've used to see them. They get out. Auburn's a good team. They protect the basketball, and State with 11 steals in its ball game is a really good number. But Auburn as a team is very good offensively. They're very efficient at what they do. They don't give you a whole lot. They make a lot of make a lot of shots in the free throw line, too. When you put them on a line, they're going to make them. They were 17 of 22. State was 17 of 27. State missed 10 free throws in the game. So you can't say that it just killed us, but down the stretch, it was very, very big. Looking, Auburn had five players in double digits today, and that's typically what happens in games like this. It has to be a concerted effort. And so that's the game. And, again, disappointing result, but I can't be disappointed at all in our effort. And I can't be disappointed in the fact that Mississippi State is now headed to the NCAA tournament. We didn't come down here expecting to win this tournament. Of course, we wanted to win this tournament. We always want to win. And after beating LSU, we thought, okay, we've done everything we needed to do. And the Tennessee win just kind of felt like a bonus. But if you're like me, and most of you are, I'm thinking, well, hey, we've beaten Tennessee, who's a top seed in this tournament. This bracket set up for them to advance to the finals. We got a chance to get by Auburn and play against the bottom half of this bracket with A&M and Florida, who are both playing exceptionally well, have knocked off Kentucky and Alabama, two teams that have given us some trouble. And so you felt like, hey, if we could get through today, probably have a chance to cut down the nets tomorrow, but that is not to be. But again, congratulations to the Bulldogs on a great run in Nashville. Now we just await our postseason destination. And I will venture to say that there is nobody out there that wants to play Mississippi State. Of the 64 teams that will make the final bracket, I will assure you that the 63 teams not named Mississippi State, nobody would pick us. They would much rather play somebody else. Mississippi State's going to prove to be a tough out in this tournament. I expect a much better run in the postseason than we had last year. State just kind of in a funk last year in that play-in game. I think they feel like they've proved something to themselves and to the country. And I expect Mississippi State to come out and play hard and advance in this tournament. Look forward to seeing what's happening next weekend in postseason basketball. Should be a great time for our program. But there is plenty to celebrate today. Again, Mississippi State ends a very nice run in Nashville, and Mississippi State going for the series win today against LSU on the baseball diamond. I'm going to wrap this thing up today, and we're going to head over to Duty Noble Field. And we'll be back on our regular schedule next week. Apologize for things yesterday, but sometimes life happens to us all, and we got to get out and get moving. And it's already been a big content day over on jeanspage.com. Come and peruse our free content and consider signing up. It is a 50% off the annual subscription price through tomorrow night, through St. Patrick's Day, 11 p.m. Central is when that deal ends. And if you hadn't done so, go to whenthebottomfalls.com And you can get the newest book, When the Bottom Falls, which is a memoir about my personal recovery and what I've done to stay sober for 32 consecutive years. And all my sports titles are there as well. That's Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, and of course Dogpile. And every Bulldog needs a copy of Dogpile. If you're looking for Stark Villains gear, you can find it at starkvillains.com. T-shirts, hoodies, everything available there in a variety of colors and styles. And listen, we encourage you as always, give True Rest a try. We had a huge day yesterday, over 20 floaters yesterday. Got a big schedule again today. But you can get in, and it's the coolest thing that everybody leaves happy. It's one of those weird things to me. It's like I've never worked anywhere where everybody leaves happy. We have all these raving fans that go on social media and talk about how great the service was, and certainly the float. You can learn more at truerest.com. You can follow us on Facebook at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. But if you need more information, call 662-268-7601. You can speak to my lovely wife, Dana, and she'll answer all your questions and get you scheduled. It's a pretty easy process. It's one of the most relaxing things you'll ever do. You owe it to yourself to get in there and have some peace and quiet and do some real self-care, right? And don't forget, on Thursdays, we'll have to make a change in the schedule this week with the series starting on Thursday. We'll probably go Wednesday. But the Dude Effect, me and my son, Ani Robertson, have the weekly baseball show. And he did call for State to take the series. I was a little bit hesitant to do that because we didn't have Nate. I was just hoping to get one. Now we've got one, and now we need to go get another one. And why not three, right? We are Mississippi State. I get so tired and irritated sometimes if people act like that. You know, we're just some also-ran program. We are Mississippi State. I know the last 2 years have weighed on a lot of us a lot because we love Mississippi State baseball. But we have to open up the possibility that we may be a good Mississippi State baseball team. So let's go get a win today and hopefully win tomorrow. And we'll break it all down as we get into our show on Monday. By that time, we'll know exactly where the Bulldogs are headed in the NCAA Men's Tournament. Of course, we'll have a weekend of SEC baseball to continue to discuss. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.